right. Thank you, brother. Well, this morning, you can, the kids, y'all can go on to class. Miss Monica's going to be teaching today, and everybody else, you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 8 is where we're going to find ourselves. We'll be back in the book of Exodus, Lord willing, tonight. But for now, 1 Samuel chapter number 8. 2 years ago, right before the election of 2 years ago, I preached a political type sermon, kind of just telling you, going over, you know, how a Christian ought to vote and things like that, not really going into the politics of it all, but it's been 2 years, and I think it's time to preach a political sermon. And you say, we don't want politics in the pulpit. I agree, but what are politics? And so this morning, I gave a warning to the Sunday school crowd that if politics make them nauseous or nervous, they can take their blood pressure meds and be ready for the sermon. Some of you weren't here, so you're just getting it full force. So this morning, Lord willing, we are going to clear up some things about the relationship between the church and the government and how that affects us as Christians. Because I don't know about you, but I've been told that I ought not preach on political things. And so often those things that I've been told that about aren't political things, they're Bible things. And they've been hijacked by politicians and made political, but it doesn't mean that our voices have to be silent concerning them. And so this morning we're going to dive into that a little bit, but we're going to start with the going to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us, Lord, so much to be thankful for as Christians, and Lord, even more so as Christians here in America, where we have many freedoms and many things that we enjoy that other people in the world do not. Lord, help us not to take those things for granted. Help us to study your word with an open mind and honest heart this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have heard everything from pastors can't talk about politicians to you can't talk about political things as a Christian because that's not Christian to do. And I mean, there's a lot of different things I've heard concerning the relationship between politics or the government and the church. And I'm sure y'all have heard that a lot. And so the first thing I want to talk about this morning is the role of the church in politics. And when I say the church, I have to say the church, because the church to some people, those who believe the Bible, is the church is just the people, the people who make up the church. In history, though, the church has been the Church of Rome or the Church of this or of that, and it's been more of an organization than a body of believers. And so when we think about the church and its influence over a nation or the church, the Christian, and its influence over the political nature of a nation or the direction of a nation, one of the things that I'm sure all of you have heard and that I've heard very often when people try to promote the idea that the church does not belong on the political stage or on the national stage, that the church should not influence any decisions on the national stage, is the statement, separation of church and state. Anybody ever heard that little nugget? Okay. Anybody ever been told that that's part of the Constitution? A lot of people say that. A lot of people think that. It's not. It's not. And so we won't get into the history of the statement and everything since this morning, but I'll just tell you, it's not part of the First Amendment of the Constitution. I'll just read that for you. The First Amendment of the Constitution in its entirety, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, period. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, it sounds like the government needs to stay out of the church's way, not the church needs to stay out of the government's way. That's pretty much how it's worded. It's pretty hard to misinterpret that. Of course, it's also pretty hard to misinterpret keep and bear arms, but you know, people have a hard time with that as well. We don't here, you know, we're very happy to bear those arms. But anyways, when it comes to this, people. The First Amendment does not ban the church from having an impact on the politics of the nation. It's clearly worded to protect the other way around. Now, history has shown us over and over and over again, and I can't say I'm some great student of history, but I have a brain, and so I know history has proven again and again that nations and governments often persecute religions, people based on their religions. Many of the greatest genocides that have occurred in history have occurred solely based on someone's religion. You have the Boxer Revolution in China, where the Boxer Party of the Chinese were going around telling people that the Christian missionaries were stealing the children's eyeballs and all these crazy things, and they ended up rising up, overthrowing the government, and killing all the Christians in a brutal revolution that killed tens of thousands of Christians just because they were Christians. You see the Holocaust, of course, the Jews in World War II being slaughtered just because they're God's people. You see, even today, even the Muslims are thrown in concentration camps in China. So it's not just Christians. Governments around the world often persecute people based on purely their religion. Now, throughout history, of course, we have a lot of examples of it happening to Christians and to God's people, the Jews. And so it even happens still today. In many places in the world today, people are being mistreated by their governments based solely upon their religion. Now, the flip side of that is, history has also shown us that having a government that is run by a religion, not always the best thing either. Look at Afghanistan today. Afghanistan, Iran, they're run by religion. They stick to their religious code, and that's not a great thing. You can look at the church back in the Dark Ages, when the Catholic Church ruled most of the world and committed genocide against anybody that dared own a Bible. And there's so many different things where when the religion was in charge, wasn't really good either. So what do we do? Well, right now it works out pretty well that we're in Exodus 21 or 22 in our studies going through the Bible, and we're learning God's law for a nation. And God's law for a nation, even for his own people, that he parted the Red Sea for, saved from Egypt, provided food for, provided water for, protected from enemies, did all these things for, even his own people couldn't follow his laws as a nation. And so America, we're founded upon biblical principles, and that's great. And any nation that's founded upon God's design for a nation will do much better than any other nation. But when you have a nation full of people who don't know God, you can't expect righteousness to come about no matter how you legislate things. Because even Israel rejected God's way of doing things. If you look with me, we're in 1 Samuel chapter number 8, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment." Now, that's not who you want ruling you. That's not a good situation. But the people see it as an excuse to just completely change God's way of governing his people. Verse number 4, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." So here, the people of Israel, they have some bad rulers. There's no doubt about that. These two men are not doing the job they ought to do. But they take that and say, this is our chance to get rid of God's system for our governance. God had a system of judges in place. He never intended a kingship to be the way that Israel is ruled. But Israel, God's own people said, we don't want to do it that way. We're going to do it like everybody else. So when it comes to the church and politics and the church and nations, we can't expect lost people to live based on Bible principles when even saved people can't do it half the time. But when it comes to creating laws and directing the direction of the government and of political things and all these natures, obviously the best way is God's way. So though we can't expect a perfect result from imperfect people, we ought to do everything we can to make sure that we stick as close to the Word of God as we can when in regards to what the Bible says about how a nation is to be run and about what is right and what is wrong. A nation can have a moral compass. A nation can be judged as a nation. We're talking about in Sunday school, we're doing this series about churches that what makes a church that pleases God. And in Revelation, you see God judging churches, not just individuals, but churches. The church at Thyatira, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Philippi. You see all throughout the Bible, God judging nations, not just the individuals in the nations, but nations themselves. And so nations can turn away from God, even if they're God's people. And so we need to make sure as Christians in our nation, is the right answer to say, let's just take our hands off the wheel and let the lost people handle it? That doesn't seem like a good idea. But that's what's so often promoted today, is that the Christians shouldn't involve themselves in politics to any degree. Now, if we consider the church as the scripture describes it, it will help us to figure out our role when it comes to the government that we live in and that we are subservient to. Now, Acts chapter 20, verse 28 is an example of the church as the Bible describes it. The Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now, Jesus Christ did not purchase this building with his blood, and I'm not supposed to bring in donuts for the building. Like, that's not what... I'm not feeding the church, and obviously it's spiritual food, it's not physical food, but I'm just making a point here. It's not the building, and it's not some overseeing board of regents or whatever you want to call it. It's not Rome, it's not any of these things. The church is you and me. The church is saved people who have been born again and put in the body of Christ. That's the church, as God sees it. Now, we have local bodies of believers, we have local churches, because having one huge, massive global church, that's just kind of not feasible, but we are part of a larger body of Christ that makes up the church. And so, understanding that, the question now becomes, okay, it's not what is the church's role in politics and in governance and in leadership of a nation, it's what is my role as a Christian in this nation when it comes to those things. Because I am not separated from the church, I am part of the church. The church is me. So every Christian has a specific purpose and gift that God has given them in order to serve him. Turn with me two places in your Bible, Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12. Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are, of course, gifts that God has given. There are jobs that people are specially enabled by God to do, and we read a little bit about that in these two passages, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So this is a list of gifts God gave the church, different types of people God gave the church, different roles God gave the church for the purpose of edifying, building up the body of Christ till he comes. Now, if you go back over to 1 Corinthians 12 with me and start in verse number 28. I'm sorry, I got the wrong... Yeah, there we go, 12:28. I'm looking at 11:28. That is definitely not the right passage. "God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gift of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way." Now, I think it's interesting here. You don't have a whole list of things. You have some more things added in that aren't necessarily directed at the church. You have, you know, the gift of governments. That's not really a gift that's directed at the church, but that's, you know, God put it right in the list of things that he's enabled people to do. He put governments in there. And yet people say Christians shouldn't have anything to do with government. If Christians have nothing to do with government, then who are you going to elect? Right? I mean, we want some Christian, godly person in office, but we tell everybody, oh, Christians shouldn't have anything to do with politics. How's that gonna work? Who are you going to elect? Well, we don't want to get into that. All right. I got to police myself here. My wife's not here to give me looks. Now, God did not include every job in these lists, obviously. God did not put IT repairman in the list, or plumber, or dietitian, or whatever. There's millions of jobs out there, many of which didn't exist back then. And if the Lord had led the Apostle Paul to write about dietitians, he'd be like, huh? What is that? And so obviously not every job is here, and there are gifts and there are jobs and there are things that God gave as a gift to the church to help the church, but not everybody is those things. You know, not everybody's a missionary, not everybody's a pastor, not everybody's a teacher. Some people, God has given them the ability to just be really good at being a contractor, at being a beautician, at being whatever they are, and they are a supporter of the church, whether it be financially or through their time and help or whatever it may be. They're part of the church, they're supporting the work of the church, but they're not a minister. Not everybody's called to that. But even in the list of these things that are to support the church, God includes government. And so I think the way we ought to look at it as individuals is, okay, well, politician is another job. Now there are jobs you can take that are directly in contradiction to God's word. You cannot be that job and please God. You can't be a palm reader and come church Sunday and say, oh, praise the Lord, I love my job. That's not good. Bible says you're supposed to die in the Old Testament if you're like that. You can't go off and read all that the Bible says about it and then say, you know what, I think God would really be pleased with me if I'm a beer salesman. It's not really, that doesn't really fit, doesn't really look good. But there's a lot of jobs that they're not expressly forbidden in the Bible. They're not wrong, they're not right, they're just jobs. And if you can do a job in a way that pleases God, then do the job. It's not a big thing. It doesn't really matter. If it's not against God's word, if you're not helping in abortions, if you're just delivering mail, do the job and do it in a way that pleases God. Politician is just another job. Now, can you do that in a way that pleases God and get elected? I don't know. Somebody told me one time I should run for office. I'm like, of what? Like, there's no way. You realize what is on Facebook, sermons I have preached, things I have said. There is no way that would ever happen. I would, it'd be bad. And if it did, I would be impeached on day two. So it would take them a day to figure out all, they'd take them a day to make the list of all the horrible things that I've said to make it worth impeaching me. Because, you know, the Bible, right? The Bible's terrible. But as we look at this thing from a Christian perspective, there are these things we need to understand. If we do the job and do it in a way that pleases God, well, I'll do that. If we have the freedom and ability to, in our nation, to give input on how our nation is directed, that's a rare thing. That's something throughout history that's not very common. And the Christians throughout history haven't really had that chance very often. They're usually at the other end of the gun, not the ones telling the government what they ought to be doing. We have that ability to some degree, however much faith you have in our system, we have that ability to somewhat direct, okay, which direction do we want this thing to go in? And so that's a unique thing that we have that, you know, that wasn't in Rome in the days of the apostles. That wasn't in China ever. That's not been in a lot of places. Now, we have in God's word, James 4:17, the Bible tells us, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you can look at this thing and you can say, well, I don't want to get into politics because there's no good answer. There's no right person. There's no this or that. Well, we have the opportunity to try to prevent abortions. We have the opportunity to try to prevent murders and all these different things. We have the opportunity to try to prevent a lot of things that are absolutely anti-God and anti-Bible. If we have the opportunity to try to prevent those things and promote godly things, and we pass that opportunity by and say, no, I don't want to do that, the Bible says it's sinful for us to know that there's good we can do and not do it. So I think it's wrong for Christians to step out of the political light and say, I'm not going to touch that, I'm not going to talk about that, I'm not partaking that, I'm going to let other people do that. You're just asking for the culture we have now. Over the last several decades, preachers have been telling people, stay out of politics, stay out of politics, stay out of politics. And now, guess what? We have politics that have less and less and less Christian influence. And look what it's gotten us. Woohoo, good job. It's not good. Now, as I said before, if we tell Christians that it's wrong to take part, then who are we going to make our leaders? Who are we going to turn to? There's an issue, though. And there's two main issues I think that there are here. Turn with me a couple places in your Bible. First Peter 1 and 2 Timothy 2. 1 Peter 1, 2 Timothy 2. there are, I think, two really big issues that have driven the divide here between the church and the leadership of the nation, the political things. And I want you to be clear where I stand on this, so I'm going to give you these. The first issue with the church as a whole, with the church corporately, with the church as individuals, being involved in political things, is the issue that I and others like me are so sick of. And that is the issue of people who belong to Christ, people who the Lord has saved through His own blood, people who have eternal life through His name, being more excited about their politics than they are about their God. And I'm tired of it. And a lot of preachers I know were tired of it. Because the last several years, people have been fighting so hard politically, they've been so involved politically, they've been so informed politically, and they have no clue what their Bible says. They have no clue that the church is going out and supporting another missionary. They have no clue that there's a door knocking campaign going on or a track pass. There's no connection to their local church. There's no connection to ministry or evangelism. They're not telling people about Christ, but they're telling them about Trump. They're telling them about Biden. They're telling them about all these other people. That's a shame. Christians ought to be Christians before anything else. And that's one of the issues that I think that we've seen is as human beings, we like to get caught up in things that we can see the person we're promoting. We can talk to the person we're promoting in person. Other people can see and talk to them in person. And we know we can talk to God. We know we can see God and the things that He does, but it's not the same. And so people latch on to the political things, and we have Christians who are so involved in politics that they destroy their spiritual life. And I've seen it. I've seen it happen with families, with spouses. I've seen it happen with kids. I've seen it happen with a lot of church members over the years. And I've heard a lot of stories from a lot of preachers, especially over the last couple of years, of people who used to serve faithfully in the church, but now they're too busy promoting the politics. So that's the problem. We have 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest." That's all the further we need to go on that. I'm even reading in the wrong spot here, but I'm getting it in the right stuff. As Christians, we need to hold on to and be consistent with the things that we've been taught, the doctrines we've been taught. We need to hold fast those forms of sound words. That's what we need to be studying. That's what we need to be paying attention to, more so than the polls and more so than the news pundits and more so than all the talking heads on CNN and all the other places. But if you go where I actually told you to go, if I go where I told you to go, then we'll find the verse that I'm supposed to be reading, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. The Bible says here, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." If we haven't even started to try to do that, then we have no business going off and doing a bunch of other stuff. I've had people tell me that God has called them to be in politics. I say, okay, God apparently didn't call you to be in church because we haven't seen you. God apparently didn't call you to hand out tracts or anything like that or tell anybody about Jesus, but He called you to work for this politician. That's an interesting God you have there. It doesn't sound like the God of the Bible. I knew that would go over really well. Yeah, we're Christians. We want to be like Christ. Maybe. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. This is where the Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." That's our first priority. Are we pleasing God in what we are doing? Are we pleasing God with our priorities? Or are we so tangled up in all this other stuff, all this other junk, that we don't even care about pleasing God anymore? We just care about the election. We just care about the policies. We just care about whatever else. it's easy to get sucked into that, and it's easy to get consumed by that because it's so prominent in our nation today. And that's one of the first issues I see with why there's such a divide and a separation, is because preachers will say, stay away, because we know what's going to happen if you don't. We know people are going to get sucked in, and they're going to be far more faithful to the politician than they ever were to the church. And that happens a lot. And so I understand preachers and people being very hands-off to it. I get that. But we got to be careful. There's got to be balance. You can be a Christian and be involved in politics. You can be a Christian and care about your nation and not let the one consume the other. But we got to make sure that we're Christian first. We're Christian Americans. Now, for that reason, a lot of preachers, they hate it because their church, you know, their church people will attend a political rally, but they won't attend a Bible conference. They'll send money to a politician, but they won't send it to a missionary. And on we could go. It's a priority thing. Anything can become a god. Anyone can become a god if we let it. And politics is the god of a lot of people in the last few years. And so we have to be careful. That's one of the issues. There's two issues. First issue is that Christians, we tend to latch onto things that we can see, touch, feel, hear, and instead of our God, and we turn that into a god, and we end up our God and our relationship with Him takes second place to whatever this thing is. For some people, it's sports. For some people, it's their job. For some people, it's politics. So that's the first thing. That's the first issue. The second issue, there are a lot of pastors and Christians out there today that are just cowards. Just no better way to say that. There's no simpler way. There's probably a more politically correct way, but I really don't care. There's a lot of cowards. There's a lot of preachers and people who will not touch any subject that is deemed political because they're afraid of what people might think. I've had people tell me that I don't preach politics. And what they mean is, I don't preach anything that anybody's divided on because I don't want to lose anybody. I know of a preacher recently who preached a sermon on abortion and had half the church walk out. It's like, well, you preached that sermon too late then. People ought to know from day one when they come to a church, you can't know everything when you four walk in the door, but it don't take long to know whether somebody's for or against murder of children. And so as preachers and as Christians who witness and talk to others, we cannot be so afraid of conflict that we won't talk about anything that is deemed political. Because as I said, these are Bible subjects that people have taken and called them political so that they can make it something other than what God said. Yet that's what we're supposed to base everything on. Abortion is considered a political topic. It's not. It's a Bible topic. The Bible has a lot to say about it. Self-defense is considered a political topic. It's not. It's a Bible topic. We have a whole sheet out there that explains why God wants you to own a sword, which in today's day and age is a gun. God wants you to own one, and God wants you to use it lawfully. We had a whole lesson on that. Human sexuality is considered political. In most things today, God considers it abomination. So it's not political. It's a Bible topic. So don't let anybody ever hide behind, well, that's politics, I don't want to. No, it's scripture. It's spiritual things that need to be talked about and need to be addressed, especially from the pulpits of America, or Christians aren't going to know. Because sadly, now I know this isn't the case here, because all of you are very, 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 very good Christians and Bible scholars and prayer warriors, and I appreciate all that, and me too, right? We're all perfect here. But for those other people, for the people watching online, we'll just... Sorry for those of you who are, you know. But there's a lot of people who the only thing they know about God, the only thing about their faith is what they learn on Sunday. They don't have a consistent study life of their own. They don't have a prayer life of their own. A lot of people across this nation, maybe not Independent Fundamental Baptist, but a lot of people, all they know about their faith is what they're told. They don't know it for themselves why they believe what they believe. And so when some preacher gets up and wears a rainbow robe to preach, they don't know any better. I've had people from our church come to me and say, I never knew the Bible had that much to say on that topic. It's there. But there's a bunch of preachers that are cowards, and there's a bunch of Christians that are frankly cowards, and we don't want conflict, and we don't want to get into all this stuff, so we don't talk about parental discipline and marriage and social programs and systems of government, and God has something to say about all of it. The Bible has the answer for all of it. So you can't take something and say, well, that's political, so I don't want to talk about it. It's not just political. It's been made political, but it's a Bible topic. Any topic you can think of, God has something to say. And we ought to be willing to share that truth from God's Word. Jeremiah 23, and then we'll be wrapping up here shortly. Jeremiah chapter 23. So I think Christians, we ought to be involved. Since we have the freedom, the ability to do so, we ought to be involved in these things. We ought to do our best to steer things in a way that would be more honoring and more pleasing to God, because how could that be a bad thing? That's a good thing. We just need to make sure we avoid making it something that overtakes our life, making it something that becomes more important to us than our walk with God, or something that gets in the way of our walk with God, or maybe even something that ruins our testimony. I've told people before, I'd rather somebody come in here and hear the gospel preached and be offended at the gospel than walk in and see a hat somebody's wearing and be offended before they ever get a chance to hear the gospel. I think the church should be, to some degree, a neutral ground as far as we want them to hear the truth before they make a judgment about us. But we do need to stand upon our principles, and we need to do these things in a balanced way to where people know, or to where we can affect the government and not have it affect us. We want to turn the ship in a way that steers towards righteousness, but we don't want to get so attached to that thing that it pulls us under and drowns us. We need to be careful, but we also need to not be cowardly about it. And I say that more about the preachers than about the people, because I know everybody has conversations around the dinner table. We all have opportunities to be quiet or to speak up, but the preachers in the pulpits are really doing a disservice to America by not taking a Bible stand on things and saying, well, I don't want to preach that because it's political. It's cowardice. Now, Jeremiah 23, verse number 21. Jeremiah 23, 21, the Bible says here, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. God said, you know what? I did not send those preachers to say what they said, because if they'd have just stood there and listened to me, they would have had a different message. They would have had a message of turn and repent. Said, they're not speaking my words because my words would not have been the same as their words. We were talking this morning in a meeting about how it's sad there's so many different beliefs out there and false teachings out there, and you can go to that church where the preacher, priestess, lady, whatever she is, is standing there in a rainbow robe preaching out of a Queen James Bible with a rainbow on the cover, and you come, you get interested in God, you want to know more about the Lord, you don't know what church is right and what church is wrong. There's a lot of people been in church their whole life and don't even know what other denominations believe, and Thank Lord for that ignorance, because there's a lot of craziness out there. You walk into a church, you just open up a phone book, Google, whatever. You say, church in town. You go into that church, it's a roll of the dice. They might start speaking in tongues and flopping in the aisle. Then you really wonder what you're getting into. You might walk in and they start singing about there's a fountain filled with blood. And we're like, praise God, that's great. But somebody walking in is probably like, what? And but it's true. And then somebody walks in and, oh, this looks homey. This is, this just looks like the concert I just went to. And they feel right at home because they're unsaved and they're in the world, and the church looks like the unsaved world and sounds like the unsaved world. And so there's such a diversity of messages in America. There's such a massive amount of quantity. I forget which person I was talking to recently. They were telling me that they had they were talking to a local preacher on a mission field, somebody who was a native, and they asked him the question, what is wrong with Christianity in America? What's wrong with the church in America? And the missionary, or not missionary, the local preacher of that nation, I think it was Nepal, said without hesitation, multiple choice. And they said what they meant by that was you can pick and choose till there's no tomorrow. You can choose all kinds of different churches with all kinds of different beliefs, and you can be offended in 15 different churches and go to 15 more. And he said, here, you got one church in 100 miles, and if it's mostly right, you just got to deal with it and learn to get along with people and learn to love them and learn to study your Bible yourself. It's like, well, that's one way to look at it. You could say, praise God, there's a church at every corner, but then you get to know the churches, and you're like, oh, Lord, there's a church at every corner. As Christians in America, when it comes to these topics of politics, these preachers that don't preach God's word, the Lord says if they were sent by me, the message would be repent. If they were sent by me, it would be turn to righteousness. And so we can just look around America today and look at the fact that there's about 50-50 split of so-called Christians who politically go one direction and politically go the other, and we can say they're not all going by this book. They're not. You can't have most of what you have in America today standing in the pulpits and be going by this book. And we're in a bad spot as a nation, if you haven't noticed. We're in a bad spot as a culture. The family is being destroyed. The biblical foundations are being attacked at every turn. Decent, just straight moral decency is under attack. And so now is not the time for the Christian to say, well, I don't want to talk about that because that's political. No. Give them the Bible truth on whatever subject it is. Somebody says, well, I don't want to talk about abortion because it's so political. No. Tell them. God says, do not kill babies. You go to a lot of different verses to back that up. We have a whole sheet out there. Somebody gets talking about guns and says, well, that's a political topic. No, that's a God topic. God has a lot to say about that. You can inform them, tell them, explain to them what the Bible says about all that. Well, I just think love is love. Nope, it's not. God is love. You can explain to them what that is. But see, people don't like confrontation. They don't want to be the bad guy. And so they use the excuse, well, that's political. I'll just leave it over there. It's a missed opportunity. Especially today, there's so much talk about political things. There's so much, it's like celebrities nowadays. It's so weird that there's such a focus on all this. But it presents us with the opportunity to say, hey, you want to talk about abortion? Here's what God says about it. You want to talk about, you know, the roles of the family? Here's what God says about it. You want to talk about socialism versus capitalism? Here's what God says about that, because he does say something about it. And so as Christians, as preachers, as people in the pews, we need to make sure that we are doing our best to ensure a better future for our children. We're doing our best to go down the path of righteousness as a nation if we're able to cause that to happen, to preserve freedom of religion, to preserve freedom of speech, to preserve all these things. That's a wonderful thing. And if God will bless us and enable us, we'll preserve those things. But we also cannot let it consume us to where we are neglecting our Christianity for our American duty. We're neglecting our Christianity for our politics. And so I get it. I get why there's a divide. I get why people are hands off. But Christians, we can't let the world decide our fate for us. If it happens, then we'll deal with it. That's what Christians have been doing for all time. They've been dealing with persecuting governments. They've been dealing with wicked rulers. They've been dealing with that since Christianity was a thing. Some of the very first rulers that Christians suffered under were just murderers and just genocide and all kinds of horrible things. So if the nation goes that way, then it goes that way, and we'll just keep serving God and loving God. But if we can keep it from going that way for our children's sake, we ought to try, as long as that doesn't take away from our walk with God. As long as that doesn't become more important to us than our daily devotions, than our daily prayers, than our testimony. If we tell 100 people about our candidate and nobody about our God, that's not balanced. That's not right. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I know it's been a kind of a different Sunday morning message. Lord, I don't know what needs are represented in the building today, but Lord, I know that there are going to be opportunities in the next few weeks, months, that people are going to have opportunities to either speak up or stay silent on many topics that are deemed political things. Lord, help us not to fear that label, but help us to embrace it as an opportunity to bring in your word. So Lord, your word should be our standard for everything. Your word should be our final authority for every belief that we hold. Lord, help us never to back down from an opportunity to promote and provide your word to the world that needs it. We love you. We thank you for all the freedoms we do enjoy. And Lord, we just trust you with your will, with the direction of our nation. But we, Lord, we help, pray that you'll help us to have the courage to stand for what's right and to know where the line is between being too involved.